Welcome to Gear Vlogs Automotive Podcast. I'm your host, Mario Gear, where I share my enthusiasm for all topics automotive. Welcome to the Gear Vlogs Automotive Podcast, episode 25. In today's podcast, I talk about the Ford F-150 Lightning recall, reveals the root cause of the fire that stopped production, automobile Lamborghini financial results for 2022, why Jaguar reinvention could mean fewer U.S. dealers by 2025, Ford Model E losing billions as it says EV units should be seen as a startup, the NTSB, crews failed to de-ice road before massive 130 vehicle Texas crash, and a 93-year-old Gulf gas station relocated in Philadelphia. If this is your first time here, thanks for clicking that play button. I'm Mario Gear, and I've been involved in the automotive industry for well over 15 years. I'm sharing my enthusiasm for all things automotive topics with you. Let's begin. Ford F-150 Lightning recall reveals root cause of fire that stopped production. Documents published by the NHTSA shed light on the incident. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration published several documents yesterday regarding the recall of certain Ford F-150 Lightning pickups that may be fitted with a faulty high-voltage battery pack. The defect was spotted when an F-150 Lightning caught fire in a holding lot at Ford's Rue Electric Vehicle Center on February 4th, which prompted the Blue Oval Company to pause production and stop delivering vehicles to dealers. The production eventually resumed more than a month later, on March 13th, and Ford said back then that the problem was related to high-voltage battery, but stopped short of offering specific details. At roughly the same time, Ford issued a recall for just 18 units of the 2023 model year pickup, and now the NHTSA has published the official documents regarding this recall, revealing what caused the fire in the first place. According to the federal agency, when the vehicle's high-voltage battery is at a high state of charge, the vehicle could experience an internal short circuit in the battery, which could result in a fire, adding that due to production processes deviations at the supplier, the cathode aluminum tabs may contact the anode electrode material, causing an internal short circuit when high-voltage battery cells are at a high state of charge. The battery packs were manufactured by SK Battery America in Georgia and fitted to a 2023 Ford F-150 Lightning assembled between January 20th and January 26th, 2023. As part of the NHTSA, the owner of the affected vehicles will be notified by Ford and directed to a nearby dealer where the entire battery pack will be replaced free of charge. Luckily for them, only 18 vehicles so far have been identified with this issue, so that's pretty good. So yeah, if you're one of the people affected by this particular recall, or you think you're a recall, you're encouraged to go to the NHTSA's website for recalls. You can do a VIN search and see if your vehicle is affected, or simply calling also Ford Motor Company, their customer service line, and giving your VIN number, and they can verify it. If you don't have that customer service number, calling any local Ford dealer and talking with your service advisor, and ask them to run your VIN number of your F-150 Lightning's VIN to see if it falls under this particular recall. And if so, schedule an appointment. Okay, on to our next story. Automobile Lamborghini financial results for 2022. Turnover tops $2 billion with a best-in-class operating margin of 25.9%. Not bad. Lamborghini had yet another record-breaking year in 2022. The St. Augusta Bolognese company demonstrated the extent of its work over the years by improving on its already outstanding figures from 2021 and reaching unprecedented milestones. Following the announcement of that 9,233 cars were delivered last year, Lamborghini also posted record-breaking figures in terms of turnover, which topped 2 billion euros in the first time ever, with a 56% increase in operating income compared to 2021. Turnover reached 2.38 billion euros in 2022, making an increase of 22% on 2021, at more than double the figure posted in 2017. It offers a tangible demonstration of the exceptional work carried out and underlines the company's exponential growth. The groundbreaking operating margins of 25.9% was a best-in-class result in Lamborghini's market and puts it in right there at the top of the automotive luxury market. It translates into operating income of 614 million euros, which is 56% more than the record-breaking amount in 2021. In addition, in 2022, there was an increase in the operating margins for a fifth consecutive year, which is another milestone for the company. So, yep, there'll be more onto this article. I'll have links to it in the show notes if you want to read it all. But overall, basically, the gist of it is Lamborghini had a very good year, and with their offerings, they're steadily growing and reinvesting into the company. So eventually, when we should be seeing their first hybrid of V12 hybrid supercar, luxury supercar. So time will tell. Let's continue. Why Jaguar's reinvention could mean fewer U.S. dealers by 2025. Jaguar Land Rover is offering dealers extra allocations of hot-selling Land Rovers such as the redesigned Range Rover, Range Rover Sport, and Defender if they give up their Jaguar franchise. A picture is starting to develop of what Jaguar U.S. dealerships networks might look like in 2025, when all electric and far more expensive three vehicle lineup replaces today's models. It will be smaller, perhaps dramatically so, and many sales could take place digitally as the storied brand looks to reinvent itself after a number of struggles dating back more than 50 years. Since 1968, Jaguar has had four corporate owners. Its current owner, Tata Motors, bought the brand and Land Rover from Ford Motor Company in 2008. In addition, Jaguar has dealt with labor issues and battled quality problems, as well as suffered through product drought, outdated plants, executive turmoil, and other crises. Jaguar Land Rover has started the process of reducing Jaguar stores by offering dealers extra allocations of hot-selling Land Rover nameplates, such as the redesigned Range Rover, Range Rover Sport, and Defender, if they give up their Jaguar franchise. It's unclear how many dealers have already accepted the offer, and it could be as many as 40, said one dealer who has been following the situation but asked to not be identified. According to the Automotive News Research and Data Center, Jaguar Land Rover started 2023 with 395 U.S. dealerships, the vast majority of which carry both brands in dual showrooms, with Jaguar on one side and Land Rover on the other. when the current five-vehicle Jaguar lineup rides into the sunset in roughly a year and a half, the brand's dealership footprint could look more like that of an ultra-luxury brand. It aspires to compete against such as Aston Martin and Bentley. These brands have fewer than 50 U.S. dealerships, with many clustered in major markets such as Los Angeles, New York, and Miami. Mirroring Europe, in the UK, Jaguar plans to reduce the number of dealerships to around 20 from about 80 today. According to some media reports, Jaguar Land Rover this month issued a statement denying it had settled on its UK dealership count, saying, "Our objective is to build a stronger and more sustainable, profitable Jaguar and Land Rover network for the future. We are consulting with our retail partners on how we achieve this objective, but it is too early to disclose details due to their commercial nature." Jaguar Land Rover acknowledged changes are coming to Jaguar retail's footprint in the U.S., but because plans are not finalized, officials won't give details. "We plan to transform the way our customers in the U.S. purchase vehicles by evaluating the customer experience to be consistent, transparent, and omni-channel, offering a seamless model luxury purchase experience built on the latest digital infrastructure to serve them wherever and however they choose. We are processing with our U.S. retail network to put our customers at the center of everything we do and build a sustainable future for the Jaguar Land Rover and our retailers," the company wrote in a statement to Automotive News. So yeah, it looks like they're obviously going to be downsizing their amount of franchisees in the U.S., and it kind of looks like they're trying to go with an all-digital model. So you go to a Jaguar, you know, website, configure your vehicle, and place the order directly with them, and show up at your local dealership to, you know, take delivery of it. Maybe look at a demo mock-up vehicle of what the car looks like, and possibly do test drives of, you know, demo vehicles at your local franchisees. So cost savings there, meaning less inventory to have at the dealerships, you know, have to worry about and whatnot. So I don't know. Comment down below what you guys think. Yeah, let's move on to the next story. Ford Model E losing billions, as it says, EV unit should be seen as a startup. The traditional internal combustion and pro units are paying the bills. Ford Motor Company's electric vehicle business has lost $3 billion before taxes during the past 2 years, and will lose a similar amount this year as the company invests heavily in the new technology. The figures released Thursday as Ford rolled out a new way of reporting financial results. The new business structure separates electric vehicles, the profitable internal combustion and commercial vehicle operations, into three operating units. Company officials said the electric vehicle unit, called Ford Model E, will be profitable before taxes by late 2026 with an 8% pre-tax profit margin, but they won't say exactly when it is expected to start making money. Chief Financial Officer John Lawler said Model E should be viewed as a startup company within Ford. As everyone knows, EV startups lose money when they invest in capacity, development, knowledge, build sales volume, and gain market shares, he said. Model E, he said, is working on second and even third generation electric vehicles. It currently offers three EVs for sale in the U.S., the Mustang Mach-E SUV, the Ford F-150 Lightning pickup, and an electric transit commercial van. The new corporate reporting system, Lawler said, is designed to give investors more transparency than the old system of reporting results by geographic regions. The automaker calculated earnings for each of the three units during the past two calendar years. Model E had pre-tax losses of $900 million in 2021 and $2.1 billion last year, and is expected to lose $3 billion this year. In the past 2 years, Ford has announced it would build four new battery factories and a new vehicle assembly plant, as well as spending heavily to acquire raw materials to build electric vehicles. By the end of the year, the company, based in Detroit, Michigan, or Dearborn, Michigan, expects to be building electric vehicles at a rate of 600,000 units per year, reaching a rate of 2 million per year by the end of 2026. Ford Blue, the unit that sells internal combustion and gas electric hybrid vehicles, made just over $10 billion before taxes during the last 2 years. Ford Blue, the commercial vehicle unit, made $5.9 billion during those years, the company said. For this year, Ford expects Ford Blue to post $7 billion pre-tax profits, modestly better than last year. Ford Pro is expected to earn $6 billion before taxes, nearly doubling its earnings last year, Lawler said. Ford was to present the new structure announcement last March to analysts and investors on Thursday. Other business units include corporate, Ford Credit, and Ford Next, a new business incubator. Lawler said the company is changing the way it does business, not doing in an accounting exercise. After 120 years, we're essentially refounded Ford, he said. We're embracing technology, competitive disruption in our industry, fundamentally changing how we're thinking, how we're making decisions, and how we're running the company. So, yep. What do you guys think? Yeah, comment down below. Let's go on to the next story. NTSB crews failed. Crews failed to de-ice road before massive 130-vehicle Texas crash. 36 hours of below freezing temperatures and a 75-mile-hour speed limit. Dallas. The company responsible for maintaining a Texas interstate where 130 vehicles crashed in an icy condition 2 years ago, killing six and injuring dozens, failed to address the deteriorating road conditions, federal officials said Thursday. That portion of Interstate 35 West in Fort Worth was not treated with salt the morning of February 11, 2021. Crashes, the National Safety Administration, or National Transport Safety Board, said. The NTSB said the failure of the North Texas Express Mobility Partners Segment 3 to address the conditions contributed to the crash, as did driver speeds. The NTSB said that because of the forecasted freezing rain and sleet, North Transit Express Mobility Partner Segment 3 had pre-treated the southbound lanes of I-35 West 2 days earlier with a liquid brine solution. But the NTSB said crews checking the road about 45 minutes before the crash didn't recognize that the elevated portions of the interstate were where the crash occurred needed additional de-icing treatment. A spokesman for the North Transit Express Mobility Partner Segment 3 did not immediately respond to request for comment Thursday. The Texas Department of Transportation also did not immediately respond to a request for comment. The pileup that involved vehicles, trucks, and semi-trailers began just after 6 a.m. in the southbound toll lanes, which had a speed limit of 75 miles per hour. Concrete barriers separated the southbound toll lanes from the northbound toll lanes and from the southbound general use lanes. The NTSB said that the crash began when a vehicle struck the concrete barrier on the right side of the toll lanes. Other vehicles then began sliding, spinning, and striking the barrier. Then a large truck crashed into some of those vehicles, and other vehicles that were unable to stop also became part of the massive crash that blocked all of the southbound lanes. So the translation was a big cluster. Not enough de-icing and whatnot. And they're also talking about wanting to add, in the article, variable speed limit signs. You know, how further down, you know, that, you know, the, you know, further control people to tell them how to slow down way faster before they reach a certain destination point, which eventually I think they need to have. All right, let's move on to the next story. 93-year-old Gulf gas station relocated in Philadelphia. The station's demolition was approved back in 1988 after Gulf, the Smithsonian, and the Henry Ford all refused to host it. Let's get into it. Understandably, the preservation of historic automobile culture tends to gravitate towards restoring and maintaining vintage cars. Historically significant cars can be sold at auction for millions of dollars, but important buildings are only valued for their purpose and must compete against the land's value. Manhattan's gas station had dwindled as real estate values soared over the past decade. The factories of Detroit's defunct automakers were abandoned and left in ruin. However, Philadelphia has preserved its oldest disused gas station by moving it. Chubb and an insurance company announced a plan for a new office tower in Philadelphia at 2000 Arch Street near Logan Square last December. The lot is currently occupied by a surface level parking lot ready right by the lot's entrance on 20th Street is a small abandoned building. The building is a 93-year-old Gulf gas station. According to OCF Realty, the Gulf station was built in the 1930s. It is not clear precisely when the station was abandoned, but it was slated for demolition in 1988. The Philadelphia Historical Commission approved the demolition after Gulf, the Smithsonian Institute, and the Henry Ford Museum all refused to receive the station in a relocation. Despite the approval, the Gulf gas station was never demolished. Parkway Corporation, the project's real estate developer, decided to spend $1 million to relocate the station before the office construction. WPVI reported that it took a week to get the station onto the trailer. Then it took 2.5 hours last night for a trailer to be carefully moved by remote control from 20th and Arch Street to Fairmont Park. Parkway president and CEO said to Action News, "You need to stabilize, unplug it from the ground, from its foundation, then stabilize it so that it doesn't crumble along the way. We believe we did that. This took months of planning and approval, permits and blessings by all parties for it to happen. The Gulf Gas Station remains on the trailer in Fairmont Park. The park has yet to decide on a final location and prepare a foundation for the historic station. When the relocation is complete, the brick structure will be used by the Bicycle Coalition of Greater Philadelphia. And nice thing to see that, you know, the building is being saved and reused, at least, which is kind of cool. Yeah. So, yeah, comment down below what you guys think on any of the stories, from the F-150 to Lamborghini's financials to Jaguar downsizing to Ford losing a couple of billion while it starts up its new electric EV business units, and to the NSBA or NTSB as a vehicle crash report from Texas. Yeah. Be sure to comment, like, and subscribe to this channel, this podcast. Follow us on all of our socials, and till next time.